Calvary Chapel. Glad you're here. Actually, just have a few announcements I'd like to share with you before we get into the Word today. Next Sunday is our Sunday breakfast, our monthly breakfast, so if you want to make your way here early next Sunday, by 8:45, the food's out and ready to go, and we usually pray over the food before we get started, but gives you an opportunity to have a breakfast together, so that's next Sunday. Also, we got a bonfire coming up later this month, October 26th, as the weather is changing, thankfully, as the fall colors will change. Hopefully the weather will be great, so we can gather together around a bonfire, do some s'mores, and always a good time to gather together. It's at Pastor Trent's house. The address is there in the bulletin. It's also found on our website if you want to look there.
Does it say Calvary Chapel?
No, it doesn't, but it should. yeah, we're asking people to bring some chili or a dessert or something that we'll all share, so it's kind of a potluck thing. And then a Top Call fundraiser. The next couple announcements are for Lakai Timon. That's a ministry that's in Haiti that we support. 88 students there in a school out there. Please keep this school in prayer. Keep Haiti in prayer. They're under a lot of demonstrations, a lot of difficulties. They're having a hard time getting food there. Suzelle constantly is communicating with us the needs that are there, so keeping them in prayer. So you have two opportunities this year to support this ministry. One of them is put together by the Lakai Timon board. It's not a Calvary Chapel event, but it's a Top Golf fundraiser. So if you ever done Top Golf, I've never actually done it, so I'm excited to actually participate because what I hear, it's amazing, a fun time. So, but it's $75 per person, and the proceeds go directly to the students there at Lakai Timon. So if you want to participate, that's going to be November 3rd. It says Saturday in the bulletin, but I believe that's a Sunday. I believe it's after church on Sunday, November 3rd at 2 p.m., so it's after church. So just kind of plan that day to set it aside to do that fundraiser. All proceeds going straight to her. On our website, there's a place where you can sign in and sign up for that and let people know, or you can email Sandy, who's the head, the chairman of the board, and her email's in there as well. And then lastly, there's a table set up here in the back. We've done this the last few years, and just wanted to bring to your attention what we do. Maybe you've heard in the past of Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse, wonderful ministry. We did that for many, many years, where you would fill a shoebox with goodies and gifts to be sent to third world countries. And since we have 88 students, we decided we're going to support each and every student in the school. We supply you with the shoebox. There's cards back there on the table of the 88 different names. You get a picture of them. We ask you to please, and this we got to remember, is to cut off this little tag that has the student's name and tape it to the top of the box. Please don't put it inside the box, because that means 88 times we got to go inside the box, try to find that, and then put it on the top so that we can ship it over to them. The deadline is November 10th, so it's a month before Christmas, so we need to get these going. So they're back there if you want to make your way after service, pick up a few names, pick up a few shoe boxes, fill those items on the back. It explains exactly the things that we want to be put in there. Typical stuff, toiletries and little gifts and toys. Nothing that would melt. It's very hot in Haiti, even at Christmas time. So please don't give them any candies like that unless they're hard candies. Okay, that's it. In the way of announcements, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 9.
How many boxes?
There's 88 total boxes. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand. There's a gentleman here to hand one to you, so you can just leave your hand up high until you get one. Acts chapter 9. We'll pick up in verse 10 where we left off last time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for a cool morning and a sunny morning. We just are so grateful, God, for the things that you put into our lives and that you give to us. And we don't want to take those blessings for granted, so we want to start out by saying thank you. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you that you are on your throne, that you are always available to us, and that we can come to you at any moment, just as we are right now. And God, we come to you with excited hearts, hearts that need to be filled. We ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, speak to us. We know your word will speak, but God, we pray that we would not forget these things, that they would become a part of us. And as we enter this time of year, Lord, I pray that you would help us just enjoy the season and remember the reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. And so I pray that all of these 88 students would even know the love that we have for them, as we communicate that love to them through these items in these boxes, God, that it would just put a smile upon their faces and that they would continually know that all of these things are done because of what you've done in our lives. And so, God, we just come to you this morning, ask you to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. We thank you that in simplicity, without necessarily extra technology, God, we can still have a Bible study and be encouraged by you. So bless this time, bless every single person here, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've entitled today's message, Is God Using You? Is God Using You? And as I ask that question, many of us are thinking, how did God use me? Is God using me? Will God use me? Do I qualify for that? And the reality is we all qualify for being used by God, and he will use the little simplest of things to get his will be done. And I want to share a story with you. Some of you in this room maybe have heard the name Jeremy Lin. If you know anything about basketball, Jeremy Lin was a Harvard graduate. And while at Harvard, he led the college's basketball team to a record 21 wins. And because of his stellar performance, he was able to enter the NBA and begin to fulfill his dream to be a professional basketball player. There was only one problem. The NBA is filled with some of the best basketball players in the nation, and he was only one of many. And most teams weren't all that impressed with him. The Dallas Mavericks, the Golden State Warriors, and the Houston Rockets all had him for a time, but he was eventually traded to the New York Knicks. The Knicks coach said this about Lin. I didn't know Lin could play defense. I didn't think he could shoot well enough, and I didn't think he could go up and finish. I was saying, he can't finish. He can't shoot. He can't play defense. I like his speed, but I just don't know. Maybe you feel like Lin this morning. The Knicks planned to trade Lin for another player on February 10th of 2012. But just 6 days before the deadline came February 4th, the Knicks faced the New York Jersey Nets, and two of their best players were on the injured list. But even with those players, the Knicks were a terrible team. They'd lost far more games than they won that season. When their point guard became injured, the coach reluctantly put in Lin. And the world turned upside down. Lin led the Knicks to a 99-92 victory, scoring 25 points. Jeremy Lin led the Knicks to win the next six games, becoming an overnight sensation. I was going to show you a video clip, and I didn't do it, but obviously our projector, my God knew. But I mean, it's amazing. If you go on YouTube and look up Jeremy Lin and see this game, it's absolutely amazing. Up until February 4th, 2012, nobody believed in Jeremy Lin. Three teams had passed on him, and the Knicks were just a week away from trading him. Nobody wanted Lin. Nobody saw his potential. That is until he got a chance to play in the game, and the rest became history. And that's what I want you to think about. See, we look at this story of Lin, a man that nobody paid attention to. Again, nobody believed in him. They passed on him, and they did not see his potential. And maybe you're sitting here this morning as I ask that question, is God using you? And you're thinking, you know what? No one sees my potential. I've been passed up. God doesn't need me. But that's not true. See, this morning, as we look at this story in Acts chapter 9, we're going to be introduced to an individual that really is a nobody, that really isn't that significant. And it's a reminder to all of us that if God wants to use you, he will. It's his choice. It's his will to use the instruments that he wants to. It's our job, it's your job, my job, to just make ourselves available. Does God know you're available to be used by him? And in fact, in the story, we're going to see this man was asked to do something by God that he really didn't want to do. Anybody in this room ever been asked to do something they really didn't want to do? Every single one of us have. Reluctantly, we resist. And we cannot resist when God asks us to do something, because the reality is, if God asks you to do it, guess what? He will equip you to do it. And we never have to ask, God, do you want me to? If he's asked you, then he wants you. So that's the reality. So let's take a look in Acts chapter 9, picking up in verse 10, as we are introduced to this man named Ananias. Verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now pause right there and give me your attention. The Apostle Paul, last time we were in the book of Acts, Saul of Tarsus, was on his way to Damascus with letters in his hands from the high priest to capture and imprison anyone who was a follower of Christ, anyone who was a Christian. And we, if you remember the story, it's on the road to Damascus. He has this experience and everything lights up and he gets knocked off his horse. And the Lord Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was told to go and into Damascus, and his companions had to lead him into Damascus, and he's blind, he can't see. But he's actually there praying, and now we're a step into the scene, and God is speaking to a man named Ananias. And I got to tell you, Ananias himself, we don't know anything about except these 8 verses in this chapter. He's a nobody. And when I ask you, is God using you? I'm going to give you 3 things that God uses in people's lives. Number one, God uses the ordinary. God uses the ordinary. Ananias is a nobody. He's just a follower of Christ. He's a believer in Jesus. But yet he's there in Damascus and he's available to God. So first we got to realize just any old Joe can be used by God. You can be used by God if you have a heart for him. You don't have to be a somebody. In God's eyes, everybody's a somebody. You believe that? See, the world might tell you otherwise. The world might say to you, you're nobody. It breaks my heart when I hear stories of people. In fact, just this week, someone was telling me a story about how a school teacher told them, you'll never amount to anything. And how their parents always said, no, you're not smart. And it's like, if you instill those thoughts in the heart of a child, guess what? They will last for them forever. And it's only God that can speak to all of us and say, I have value in you. I value you so much, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit if you accept me. So there's value in every single one of us. And Ananias comes on the scene, touches Saul's heart, and leaves the scene. We don't know anything more about him. And guys, do you understand that God used Ananias in such a powerful way that Saul turns into Paul, who writes most of the New Testament? I mean, that little faithfulness that Ananias had to be obedient to God, that obedience to do what he says, and we'll see what he says. But you got to love Ananias, right? Lord, I always love it when we talk to God as if he doesn't know something. Nobody does that in here, I know that, but it's people in Texas. At least that's Gail Irwin always says, it's people in Texas. No, Ananias says, Lord, you don't understand who this man is. God, you're asking me to do something that's very difficult. This man is out to persecute people. We can never, I love the fact that the Bible records it, but we should never question God. We don't have to update God. We don't have to give God details. I love the fact that when God spoke to Ananias, he called him by name and he gave him all the instructions on what to do. He gave them detailed instructions. Notice it says in verse 10 we read, now there was a certain disciple, a certain disciple. Again, we don't know anything about him, but he was just an ordinary Joe. It doesn't even give him any a certain disciple that was well known in his town? No. A certain disciple that had a lot of wisdom in the scriptures? No. just a certain disciple. I wrote down in my notes, God loves to use people, and God loves to use you. He doesn't have to, does he? He can do anything he wants. He's God. But he chooses to use people. He chose Ananias. And notice, being simply a certain disciple, we can basically say God simply used Ananias. And he can simply use you. Question is, are we listening? See, Ananias was listening. When he had this vision, and God said, Ananias called him by name. He says, here I am, Lord. What a great way to respond to the voice of God. Here I am, Lord. What do you want, Lord? Always being open to what God is doing. God needs to use certain disciples. Are you a certain disciple? Are you someone that God can use? See, it was this week I had someone come up to me and needed prayer. And I'll explain the story a little bit more later. But you ever get in that place in your life where you're so busy? It's like you don't need an interruption. I got things to do. I got places to be. And we find our schedules so packed with things that we have to do that there's no room for God to get in there. And when God tries to get in there, we're like, oh, I'm going to be late for my appointment, or I've got to get this done. We are definitely living in days where our schedules are overloaded so much that we don't have time for God. And let God forgive us if we only set certain times for God to show up in our lives. Hey, God, I'm available between noon and 2 on Tuesdays. That's the only time God can use you. Or are you a child of God? Are you his child and that he can tell you what to do whenever he wants? See, we need to be available. Ananias may have been a busy person, but he's like, here I am, Lord. Are you that type of person to respond in that way? God spoke to Ananias in a completely different way than he spoke to Saul, didn't he? See, for Saul, it was just like, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Go to Damascus. That's all he said. But for Ananias, he gives out these details. He sees the heart that Ananias has, and he says, listen, Ananias, I've got something I need you to do, and it's a big thing I'm going to ask you to do. If you could think about your worst enemy right now, and if God said to you today, I need you to go speak to them, what would you say? Most of us, heck no. I see heads shaking, nuh-uh. But if God said, I need you to go speak to this person, immediately we'd say, I'm not doing it, Lord. You don't understand what they've done to me. What have they done to you? God knows. But are we available in that way? If God's going to use you, he may ask you to do something you don't want to do. Uh-oh. That's trouble, isn't it? See, maybe we should write a list and say, God, these are the things that I will do for you. These are the things I won't do for you. Oh, no. See, as I'm reading this story, something continually rings in the back of my mind. And that's Jesus saying, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who wrong you. That's one of those verses that you're like, Lord, don't ever ask me to do that, please. But that's what had to be ringing in Ananias' ears. He had to hear that from the Lord that said, I need you to go to your enemies. Again, an ordinary person. Notice it says in verse 11, it says, so the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas. Again, details. This is what we love. For one called Saul of Tarsus, gives him a specific name, and behold, and tells him what he's doing. He's praying. I wrote down in my notes, this is the first time that Saul is ever really praying. He probably prayed a lot of prayer, but it was all methodical. It was all traditional. This is what we did. This is how we pray. When we go to Jerusalem, and we go to the Wailing Wall, there's books filled at the Western Wall that they open up and they just simply read prayers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but doesn't God want our heart-filled prayers? I'm thinking Saul sitting there in Damascus all blind for the first time is going, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, his mind is, as we said last time, his mind is spinning. Everything's changing in his life. And he's praying and he's seeking after God because he just had an encounter with the living Christ. When's the last time we have had an encounter with Christ. Because I believe that encounter with Christ prepares us to do the things that are difficult. When we know that we've spent time with the Lord, when we know we've heard his voice, then it's easier for me to accept his will and to do the most difficult thing. When God asks you to do something, he knows perfectly well what he is doing. See, sometimes I think we think, well, if God's going to ask me to speak to my worst enemy, then he must want to help my worst enemy. But don't you think in the process he's always also trying to help you? He's trying to help us have our hearts right and to be open to all people. Listen, we're living in a day where there's the left side, the right side. Whose side are you on? Are you on the good side or are you on the bad side? Listen, we should be on both sides. We should be open to all people. We should be willing to have those discussions, those difficult discussions with people we don't agree with. Because God will use us in those times if we're available. And that's what he was doing with Ananias. He was working in Ananias' heart just as much as he wanted to work in Saul's heart. And maybe he wants to work in yours. Not only was Ananias getting a vision, verse 12 says that Saul was getting a vision at the same time. And Saul, as he's praying, is getting this vision that there's a man named Ananias, someone he doesn't even know. Wouldn't you love that? As you're praying one morning and God says, you're going to meet a guy named Bill. And sure enough, after lunch, you meet a guy named Bill. That would be pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Saul's probably sitting there going, I don't know anybody named Ananias. Well, he will. Now, Ananias gives all the excuses, but God won't let him off the hook. No, this ordinary disciple is going to be used by God. And he's finally going to submit to his will. And if you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with his Father, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can be passed, if there's any other way that salvation can be done, but yet not my will, your will. Ananias was doing the very same thing. He was asking and speaking to the Lord, is there any other way, Lord? Is there anybody else named Ananias in this town that you can use? God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life long before you do. Don't forget that. God already knows what your Thursday afternoon is going to look like. God already knows what your 2020 already looks like. And if he's going to speak to you, he's already seen it. And he's going to be there with you. And then the last thing I want us to look at, verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that, I would think, would bring a little joy to Ananias. Good, make him suffer, Lord. Some of us in this room know that sometimes doing what's godly is difficult. To doing the right thing is hard. But it's always worth it in the end. It's always worth it to get on the other side and go, I was obedient to God. It wasn't something I would have chosen to do, but it certainly has changed me. And if you look back in your past and see all those difficult times and how the Lord has answered, you know he was there for you. And you know he provided in a powerful way. God uses the ordinary. But notice the second thing. Look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Not only does God use the ordinary, but he also uses the obedient. The obedient, okay? Ananias was obedient, even though he had his concerns. Once God showed him that, hey, I'm in the midst of this. He equipped him. And again, verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Talk about transformation. From Saul the persecutor to now Saul the disciple. Here we see Saul giving his life to Christ. This is where we believe that Saul finally gives his life over to Jesus. This is where we believe he actually became a Christian. Not necessarily on the experience that he had on the Damascus Road, like many believe, but at the time when he finally surrendered and when he finally received the Holy Spirit. And when finally I was able to see, not only physically, but spiritually. See, we must see spiritually before we can embrace the truth of who God is. It's a spiritual thing. I can remember the day I got saved. I agreed with everything the pastor was saying. And that was the day I said, I want to give my life to this Jesus. I didn't really know, you know, in my mind what I was doing. I just knew it was something I had to do. But it's that time when I finally accepted Jesus in my heart and received him as my Savior. And that's what Saul did here. Ananias went his way. It took great courage for him to step out in faith. And these are opportunities and moments in our lives where we can step out in faith, trusting in the Lord to make sure he provides for us. In what ways in your life have you seen God provide for you? Where you've actually stepped out in faith in uncertain ground, uncertain territory. You know, I've ever heard that saying that if God asked you to step off a cliff, would you do it? Would you do it? If God said, step off the cliff, I will catch you. Would you make that first step? Would you take that step trusting that God would catch you? See, everything in your physical, everything in your mind, everything in your soul would be like, I'm going to die. But if God tells you to do it, we must step out in faith. I think of Peter as he stepped out of that boat. That first step had to be the most miraculous. I think the next six were skipping and hopping and jumping. Look at me. But it was that first step. And it's always that first step of obedience that God says, you just take the step, I'll provide the way. Notice it says that he laid hands on him and he called him Brother Saul. Listen, there's qualities in a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's qualities in Christians that we are to be communicating the love of God. The love of God with all people. And here, again, Saul, for however many days is there, I think it was 3 days. He's there, blind, in prayer, all by himself. And here walks in Ananias, and he lays his hand on him, and he calls him Brother Saul. It's so important to see those words. Ananias was using his words to communicate God's love. He was using touch to communicate God's love. And he came there and said, Brother Saul, God has told me to come to you so you might receive your sight. Such encouraging words. And we are to be encouragers, guys. If God is going to be using you, you need to be an encourager. There's a plenty of reasons to be a Debbie Downer, negative Nancy, whatever you want to call it. There's plenty of reasons in this world to complain about things, right? We all got things to complain about. But isn't it nice when there's people in your life that are actually positive? And it just reminded me, yesterday my wife and I went for a walk around Radnor Lake. And after the walk, we go over to that, what's it called? Granny White Market. And there's a gentleman that works there. He's always in there. And I'm telling you, he lights up a room. He's always in a good mood. And I don't mean to demean it in any way. He's a cashier at a mini mart, but he's got such a positive attitude. He's always got a smile upon his face. Now, I don't doubt in for one second that his life doesn't have issues. That his life doesn't have problems. But he's approaching those things and he's making a positive effort to put out there positive energy and to make an impact in people's life. That's what Christians are supposed to be, are people that are shedding the light of Jesus Christ, the joy that we have that we're in our relationship with God. So if God's going to use you, it needs to be a positive message. How are you communicating God's love to other people? Is it through touch? Is it through the words, the words that come out of your mouth? Is it by the actions that you do, helping people, supporting people? Or is it by prayer? Praying for people, always being willing to pray. I guess as a pastor, people just think that's all I do is pray. Because many times I get people, Pastor Rob, you need to pray for me. Pastor Rob, you need to pray for me. In fact, it wasn't too long ago, there was someone that came up to me, and I'm telling you, they were physically shaking. And they literally said, Pastor Rob, you need to pray for me. I've done something awful. I'm like, what happened? I mean, shaking this person. I've never seen anybody literally shaking from fear. And they said, I sent an email to the wrong person. And they can't see this email. And I'm like, oh boy, okay. Well, let's see what we can do. So as I'm praying with this person. I can feel them shaking. I'm like, Lord, first and foremost, calm this person's heart down. They're going to have a heart attack here. I said, but Lord, also show us your favor. Stop this email or whatever you have to do, Lord. Your will be done. It was a very simple prayer. It couldn't have taken 30 seconds. And within 5 minutes, this person comes back to me and says, you're not going to believe this. And I go, well, I'm going to believe it because we prayed about it. They're like, I looked at the email, and I'm telling you, the email changed. It was, when I thought I was sending to a certain person, it wasn't, it was a different email. It was just a general, you know those emails that no reply email or whatever it is? That's what they had sent, and I said, interesting. She goes, I don't know how that happened. I go, what do you mean you don't know how that happened? I think between the time you sent it and the time we prayed, God changed the email. It did exactly what we asked. But here's the thing. In that moment, when they walked into that office and asked me to pray, I'm just like anybody else. I was like, I don't have time for this. I need to study. I need to prepare for a minute. I don't have, and it's like God quickened my heart and said, no, you have to have time for this. Later that week, I actually said to that person, could you pray for me? Because clearly God's listening to you and not me. It's just amazing that we can show the love of God by a simple prayer. And I'm telling you guys, the reason I say, it's not just pastors that should know how to pray. We all should be able to pray. All of us. So be a person of prayer. Be a person that shakes a hand or puts your hand on someone's shoulder and says, good job. Again, communicating that love of God to people. Say nice things. Do good things. Let God use you. Ananias was used by God to put the Holy Spirit in Saul of Tarsus, who will become Paul the Apostle. That's a pretty good resume, I'd say. Now, you don't know anything about Ananias, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, where is Ananias? I want to shake his hand. Look what God did, and God can do that in your life. If you make yourself available. And it's not anything more than every single day say, God, give me opportunities. Just like Ananias said back in verse 10, here I am, Lord. Every morning wake up, say, God, thank you for another day. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Because most of the time we're saying, God, help me get to the office. God, help me get through those meetings. God, help me to get through my day. God, help. And instead of saying, God, I'm here for you. Use me. Because I believe even in the busyness, even in the hecticness of our schedules, God can still use us. And God can still use you. Maybe he'll fill someone with the Holy Spirit based on what you do. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. We have a few more details on this man Ananias. As now Paul is recounting this experience that he's had, and I want you to see this. A few more details. Because I think will help us understand where we need to be if we want to be used by God. In verse 12 of Acts 22, it says, then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law. So he was a man of the word. Person of the word. He knew the law. He knew the scriptures of that day. Devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. That's in Damascus. So not only was he a man of the word, but he was a man of character. He was a man that people looked up to. Again, a good testimony means he had lived a good life. And in verse 13, he came to me, Paul says, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. And then he said, the God of your fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one, which is Jesus, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? I love this. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Jesus, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death. Paul was behind it. And guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. So we see there the call upon Saul's life to go to the Gentiles, or the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. So the reason I share that is, did you see the qualities of Ananias? The character of this man. Again, an ordinary person, but he was committed to the scriptures. Be a person that knows the word of God, because it's the word of God that's going to empower you to get through the things in your life, and it's the word of God that's in you that should come out of you to touch the lives of others. That's why Ananias was able to minister to Saul, because he knew God's word, and he knew God's word that he was going to eventually reach the Gentiles. And here God says to him, I need you to pray over this man, because he's the ones that are going to go to the Gentiles. So he knew the word. So know the word. Have a good testimony. Be a nice person. That's what it is. Be a nice person. Have a good testimony. Live a good life. There's plenty of people out there living a bad life. So God bless you. So it's easy to know that if we're in the word, our lives should line up to that word, and we will live that good testimony. As we go back to Acts chapter 9, Ananias' obedience ended there in verse 19. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. The one last thing I always like to bring encouragement to is the importance of fellowship. You know, spending time with other believers. I don't know your schedule. I don't know how much time you spend with Christians and how much time you spend with heathens or unbelievers. But it makes a difference. It makes a difference of who you hang around. I find, again, I remember when I used to work at a grocery store in the back room in the warehouse type of thing. Man, the language that you have back there, it's not the language you have out on the floor. It's different. It's different. When you hang around different people, you experience the things that they do. You pick up their habits. So I think fellowship and friendships are so important. To put yourself in places where you're having a positive influence and you are being a positive influence. So not, I believe, as it says here, that Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. I think it went both ways. I think they were ministering to him, and I think he was ministering to them. I think he was ministering to them in a powerful way, because God was going to use them. Lastly and thirdly, not only does God use the ordinary and the obedient, this last one, look with me in verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who was destroyed, who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews, see, who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. The last thing that I see that God uses for those who God uses the overcomer. God uses the overcomer. First it's the ordinary, then it's the obedient. But see, Saul had to overcome so much in his life. He had to overcome his tradition. He had to overcome his faith. He had to overcome his religion. He had to overcome his zeal. Remember, he was very zealous for those that were following Christianity, and he wanted to destroy them. He had to overcome all of those things. So when we look at our lives and we say, God, what are you asking me to overcome? When we look at the apostle Paul eventually, we look at his life, he had to overcome so much. What did you have to overcome to become a Christian? What did you have to surrender? What did you have to give up to be a follower of Jesus? See, if God's going to use you, he's going to change you. He's going to make you into something that's of value to him. Not necessarily a value to this world. Because notice it says in verse 20, immediately he preached to Christ. He had just received the Lord. He had just gotten his eyes open. But his entire life was preparing him for this moment. And now he was so convinced that Jesus was real, that Jesus was the Son of God, that he wanted to preach that. Because he, what didn't he even say, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel? He couldn't but help but preach Christ. Now that his eyes were really open, his heart was really open, now he's going to share the truth. When you've overcome much, when you have been changed, when God has used you, you want to share that with other people. You want to let other people know of the good things that God has done in your life. Guys, this should not be something we wait for opportunities for. This is something we should be doing, communicating that to other people. Because he stepped out immediately. And notice where he did it, in the synagogues. Because in those days, it was tradition that in a synagogue, any Jew could go in there and they could freely speak. They could pick up their scriptures, they could read them, and then they could teach. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall? One of Saul's first messages as he's reading the Old Testament, and then all of a sudden he starts speaking about Jesus Christ, when everybody goes, wait a minute, weren't you the one that was killing them? Weren't you the one that was imprisoning them? And now you're supporting them? Do you see the wisdom of God? To take the enemy of Christians and now make them the proponent of Christianity. If God can use Saul, he can use you guys. He can use me. He can use us if we're just making ourselves available to him. And he preached Christ. He preached Christ. We need to be preaching Christ even without words, living the life that exemplifies Christianity. Kind words, being nice, being kind to the things that we do. Write this verse down. It's in John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus called himself the Son of God, and he was persecuted for it. In these verses it says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus was teaching who he was. Now Saul is teaching who Christ is, the Son of God. Everybody knew when Saul would be saying that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was saying he was God, that was his deity. As we seek to serve others, God brings more strength to us. Notice it says that. Verse 21, and all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength. If you're here this morning and you're feeling weak, you're feeling depleted, you're feeling empty, we all get to that place. We all find those seasons in our lives where we feel like, God, I got nothing left. I believe it was as Saul was preaching Jesus, as he was sharing Christ, either in a synagogue or walking with someone on the side of the street, just the simple fact of sharing that truth of who Jesus was strengthening himself, strengthening his faith. If you find this morning your faith being weak, and you need to start sharing Jesus, first with yourself, but share it with other people. Truly, are there people in your life that you know need to have a closer relationship with Jesus? See, there's people in my life right now that I'm ministering to and I'm praying for because they confess to knowing Christ, but there's still areas of their life where there's compromise. And it's like they need to be prayed for, they need to be ministered to, they need to be encouraged in the word. They don't need to be defeated, they don't need to be beat down. They need to be encouraged. And so we need to be speaking those things, and we'll find strength for our life if we are strengthening others. Saul had gone to Damascus to persecute the church. He ended up preaching the Christ. That's a transformation. And every single one of us in this room, At one time, we're separated from God. And then another time, we found ourselves connected to God. In that transition, God changed you for a reason and for a purpose. I titled this message, Is God Using You? But I want to ask you this. Better to ask, how is God using you? Not just if he is, how is he? How is he? How is he trying to speak to you to go to minister someone else, to touch someone else? Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a stranger, someone that you always seem to run into, maybe at the coffee shop. There's somebody that God is trying to reach through you. Be like Ananias. Be that person that says, here I am, Lord. Here I am, use me. See, Saul was finally put into the game. And when he was put into the game, he drew many into the kingdom of God. See, we might as Christians look at the life of Saul and say, oh, persecutor, hater of Christians. I mean, we didn't see any value in his life then. But once God got a hold of him, there was great value. And when he was put in the game, God used him in a great way. Guys, let's get in the game. Let's participate. It's all of our jobs to live good testimonies and to win others for Christ. Even those Christians who do believe, but yet they're still trying to live in the world. Those are the ones I feel that we need to really draw close to us and disciple and encourage in these areas that maybe God's already taught us. But you got to have a willingness. You got to have the willingness of Ananias to say, God, I'm here. So I'm praying for you this week that the opportunities that are going to come before you, that you're going to be saying, Lord, it's going to be tough for me, but if you're asking me to do it, I will do it. Let's be obedient. Let God use you this week. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. And how grateful we are, Lord, for men and women in the Bible that maybe only have a handful of verses, but have a great impact. And for this man, Ananias, God, we see his reluctance. We see his hesitation. We see his justification for why he shouldn't do what you've asked him to do. And we're all guilty of that. We all hesitate. We all question when you ask us to do something that's difficult. But Lord, I pray that we would always come to that place where we would realize your will is better than our will. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And what you're trying to do in someone else's life, you're also trying to do in ours. To get our hearts right before you. My God, I want to pray for every single person in this room. Everyone that's hearing my voice. I pray, God, that they would be encouraged, that you are right there in their midst. That maybe you would give them a vision, that you would speak into their hearts in some way, Lord, to encourage them to go wherever you tell them to go, to do whatever you tell them to do. Use them, God. Use your church to spread the good news. Use your church to share about Jesus. And then help us, Lord, to lead them to you. Oh, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for discipleship. We thank you for fellowship. But at the same time, God, I pray each of us would just embrace the relationship that we have with you, studying your word, praying to you, seeking your face, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So God, pour out your Spirit upon us. Bless each and every one. As we go from this place, may we not forget the things that you've spoken to us. To you be the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand.